We trust already it's been an awesome morning for you. Been an opportunity to worship the Lord together, both with the children and their songs, and of course, in our worship time together. There's been that time of having the children's lesson, but also, of course, that's aimed at everybody from young and old alike. We've had this time now of seeing the video, encouraging us to remind us that God wants to work not just in us, but through us. There's opportunities all around us. And now we come to study God's Word together. Guess what I'm saying is God has much for us. Our prayer is don't let us come short, Lord. Don't let us come short of all you have. In this time now, as we come to God's Word together. To that end, I invite you, let's turn to Psalm 132. Psalm 132 this morning. Once again, we join the children of Israel as they make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Psalm 120 through Psalm 134 have the title above them, A Song of Ascents. That's because these songs were songs that the pilgrims would sing on their way to one of the three feasts in Jerusalem. They were called to go up to these three feasts annually, and as they did, they would sing these songs. They're songs to encourage them, songs of worship for the Lord, reminding them of God's goodness, provision, songs to encourage them in their pilgrim's journey. We come now to Psalm 132. It is the longest of the pilgrim songs, the songs of ascent. In it, we're going to find that God, here, first of all, the people sing. It recounts, first of all, a promise that David gave to God. That's the opening part of the song. But then it's going to shift gears, so to speak, and it's going to turn around and show a promise that God had made to David. But what we're going to find in this, as it's been true all along, so it's true in this one, we find that the pilgrim's heart is encouraged and blessed by God's heart. Remember, they were called to sing these not just once they arrived at their destination. These were to encourage them along the way. Same for us. We're headed home. We have the destiny of heaven ahead of us. But we're not just singing these when we get there. These are to remind us of God's provision and His love and care and to encourage us along the way also. So it was true for them, so we find it true for us in our pilgrim's journey. I'm going to actually, in our introductory verses, start in verse 11. Psalm 132, verse 11. I'll go back to the earlier verse in just a moment, but I want to read these couple opening verses here. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. Awesome, awesome, encouraging text before us this morning for our pilgrim's journey. I've called our time together this morning based on the beginning of verse 11. I've called our time, the Lord has sworn. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you that no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what struggles, battles might be going on, no matter what this new year holds, Lord, thank you that through it all we know this, you are faithful and you are good and you hold us. And you set before us this reminder that in the midst of all that, we are pilgrims passing through to an eternal home, that kingdom where Jesus will rule and reign. Just all these things, Lord, meant to bless and encourage us. Help us to be receivers of this. Help us to truly heart hear what you're saying. So, Lord, move amongst us, move upon us, move within us, we ask. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 132 begins here with the pilgrims singing a song that begins with a cry for God to remember something. Go to verse 1. It begins, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Well, we might be prompted to say, well, what afflictions is it talking about? We know that David went through a lot of things. We know he was hounded by Saul. All the things that David went through. What afflictions? What particularly was making David feel afflicted? This is an interesting point. For all they went through, we're going to hear now what was on his heart. What he considered an affliction, he felt it so strongly. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. What is it talking about? What are they praying about? Verse 2. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The psalm opens up with the pilgrim recounting David's burden to build a house in Jerusalem for God. All of this is recorded, by the way, back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. You can turn there later and read in detail if you would choose to check all these things out. It's a great story and all. But what we learn there is this. There came a time where David was finally settled in his kingdom. And he's kind of looking around. He looks at this great palace, this house that he has, that he's dwelling in. And he begins to remember and he thinks about the fact that the ark is still out there in a tent. And so he says such to the Lord. He says, Lord, I'm living like this, and the ark's out there in a tent. That shouldn't be, Lord. Lord, I want to build you a house. And he makes this commitment. He swears to the Lord. That's what this opening here of the Pilgrim Psalm 132 is singing about. Lord, I want to build a house for you. And he says, I'm not going to rest. That's what he talks about. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to rest until God has a house also. Well, at first, Nathan the prophet hears of this and tells David, go for it. Do all that's in your heart. Sounds good. Go for it. Well, that night, God tells Nathan, Nathan, you need to go back and straighten things out there with David. He can't build me a house. So he gives Nathan this message, and he goes indeed and tells David, David, God says no. You're a man of war. You're a man of blood. You can't build a house for God. But your son will. Solomon will build a house, but it won't be through you. But David had so much on his heart, he begins at that point to collect all these things that Solomon can use when he does go to build it. But the point here, it's talking about David had this great burden and desire to build this house for God. But no, David, you can't. Well, now the pilgrims are headed up to the temple that was indeed built by Solomon. And they're headed up there to do that. What David wanted to do, God said, well, no, you can't, but your son will. And it came to pass. And now they're rejoicing in that. They're going up there to meet in that very place. They sing about it. But the song and the story doesn't end there. It's not just David had it on his heart to build a house. His son built it, and now we're going up to it. Does your psalm end at verse 10? No, because there's more to the story, and it involves us and our pilgrim's journey and our eternal destination. The first part of the psalm is about what David swore to God. The second part of the psalm is about what God swore to David. Look at verse 2. Talk about David, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. But now look at verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. So what did God swear to David? What did he commit himself to David? David, you can't build me a house, but I'm going to build a house for you. And he wasn't talking about a physical dwelling place, some temporary dwelling place. But we learn that by the word house, he means a household, a lineage. I'm going to set up a throne for you, David. A throne upon which the Messiah will rule and reign, is what we're going to see begins to be declared here. That the Messiah would come through David's lineage. The Lord has sworn, verse 11, in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. Just to be real clear for just a moment, kind of a side note here. Again, all this is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. But verse 11 is an unconditional promise to David. The second one, verse 12, their children did, some of the sons did rebel. They did go into captivity. But that commitment of verse 11 was unconditional. David, from you, from your body, from the fruit of your body, from your line, will come this one who's going to sit on the throne. It will happen, and now we can look back and know that it did happen. When Jesus came that first time, and we just celebrated that at Christmas, his first coming, I use the word first because there's a second, but at that first coming, the Messiah did show up. Jesus did come. And time and again, one name we see, one title declared of Jesus was that very title, the Son of David. Because Scripture is clear, Jesus came through that line on his mother's side. He came through that line, and therefore he is the fulfillment of the idea that through you, David, through your line, will come the Messiah. Again, that was at his first coming. And so it talks about that. But in terms of setting him upon a throne and all, that part is out ahead. The part that we're going to look at in just a moment here. See, the song goes on even further. It began with talking about David's desire and then the building of that first temple, their pilgrimage journey there to worship. Then it came to the fact that, okay, Jesus did come. The Son of David came. But now it goes out even further. Out into even our future, verse 13 and following. We read it already, but let's look at it again now, that we understand the context. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. I don't know why he chose Israel. I don't know why. I was reading Pastor Chuck Smith's commentary on this, and he openly said, if it was me, I would have picked Hawaii. I'm going, amen. We can understand him saying, and I have chosen Hawaii for my dwelling place. Yeah. Rule and reign from there, Lord. When you set up your millennial kingdom, when you set up that kingdom coming, set it up in Hawaii. Tahiti, that works too. But God, from the beginning, set aside this rocky land. In essence, just saying his whole value is going to be that because of that's where he's going to rule from. And he set aside a people. For what purpose? To bring forward the Messiah. So he's always been at work here, and he says he's done that. Verse 14, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. By the way, make sure you count and notice all the I wills here. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself, capital H, his crown shall flourish. What an awesome thing. How many I wills were there, by the way? I came up with about seven through there. When God says, I will, how sure is it? If he commits himself to it, I will do this, and says it over and over, I will, I will, I will, I will, you can take it to the bank. In verse 17, there I will make the horn of David. The word horn is a word in Scripture that means, in this case, the government, if you will, the authority of David, the government, the throne of David. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. The word anointed there is a translation of the Hebrew word for Messiah. He's speaking about there's a Messiah. The Messiah will rule and reign in this coming kingdom from the throne that he establishes there in Jerusalem. So it's speaking of yet that which is yet our future, that which is our pilgrim's destination ultimately. They had their pilgrim's destination and we have ours. It's all meant to really encourage and bless us. What God did here in response to David wanting to build a house for God is tell David that he would build a house, a lineage for David. Again, not a physical house, but through his line that would happen. So what we have here is the promise of the appearance of, and of course, then the second coming, upon which there'll be the crowning. It speaks about his crown and all, the crowning of the Messiah. It will be ultimately fulfilled when Jesus establishes his reign. Scripture clearly speaks of the fact that there'll be a millennial reign, 1,000-year reign, where Christ will establish upon his second coming. It goes like this, time-wise. Next time, timeline-wise, the next thing that our schedule, nothing else to happen but rapture, church it out of here. Then that 7-year tribulation period. At the end of that, the second coming of Christ. We just celebrated the first, second coming's up ahead. He'll come and establish his rule and reign for 1,000 years, called the millennial, 1,000-year reign. And that's what this is talking about. And every believer, thank God, will be there. We return with him, and we rule and reign there with him. And so this is a pilgrim song of our destination. And all the I will, I will, I will. And especially what I just felt highlighted today was the fact that the Lord said he has sworn to it. He has committed it. He has committed himself to it, is the idea. A lot of times at Christmas, we like to read from the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And appropriately so. It is prophetic. Well, here, let me put it up. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, we read that at Christmas because that's what was happening. When Jesus came, he is God incarnate. And it's speaking about that. From our side, he's a baby born. A child is born to us. But from God's side, a son, with a capital S, a son is given. But then you have these declarations. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of course, he ushers peace into every believer's life. And all these things that have present applications. But there's also a future declaration. Commentators agree. This is prophetic in its nature. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts may do this. No, he will perform it. He has committed himself to it. He has sworn. The Lord has sworn. It's the big picture, and it's our future. We live in a world not ruled over by the Lord right now. I mean, you think of the terror and just all the stuff that goes on here. But when he establishes his kingdom, it talks about he'll rule with a rod of iron. And at first you go, ooh, that sounds kind of strict. It'll be a blessing because of his heart and his nature, his character and all. That there won't be, you won't have to live in terror of someone breaking in your house or something. All those things it's going to be about. But notice that. It's prophetic. It's coming up. But when it happens, what a great place it's going to be. And that's what we're singing about. And so this psalm, this awesome psalm, has all wrapped up in this. Let's not miss it. Let's let it be encouragement for our pilgrim journey. But notice that phrase he put in there, upon the throne of David. That throne where Jesus is going to rule and reign from is called the throne of David. And here we see why. It was committed to David long ago. Lord, I want to build you a house. David, you can't do it, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Something a whole lot better. I'm going to build you a throne. I'm going to build you a line of which the very Messiah will come from. And it continues to be called that. Even in that day, it's the throne of David. Why? Because God promised it. And he doesn't lie. He'll bring it about. He's made promises to us. We can lay hold of them for our pilgrim's journey. That's why these are such a blessing. Hope you know them. Hope you're laying hold of them, because they're for us. As I said, God had sworn to David way back in 2 Samuel 7 by an oath that from the fruit of his body, and it makes reference to it here in this psalm, that there would sit one upon the throne forever. The angel said to Mary in Luke 1:32, as the angel was speaking to Mary about what's going to be happening, how the Messiah would come through her, she would give birth to the Messiah and all. The angel tells her, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, the reason they use that phrase is because he came through on Mary's side. Mary's in the direct lineage of David. So Jesus meets that requirement. He is of the line of David. But, of course, on his father's side, he's God incarnate. The Holy Spirit bringing about that whole process. And so both parts there. But again, just notice that it continually that idea, the throne of David, throne of David. God had committed to it, and God will do it. Everything that was due to happen up till now, he has done. We can bank on the rest. And so we're to sing as pilgrims in such a manner. We're to remember those things. The pilgrim now sings that it was on David's heart to build a house for God. They're now headed there to worship. God, you did it. He wanted it. You said, we're going there. Good stuff. But we also see that it was on God's heart to build a house, a throne for David. We can now sing. They sing because the literal temple got built and they could go there and worship. We can sing because it has been and will be, depending on what part in the prophecies you're reading and studying here, but it will be fulfilled through Jesus. So that's what I was drawn to today, just to encourage us in our pilgrim's journey. It is sure. So much isn't sure. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. And we go through so much. I'm not making light of any of that. But overall, the Lord wants to remind us of something. We're not home yet. Does everybody know that? This isn't heaven? If this is heaven, we're in trouble. But it's not. And he's reminding us of that. Well, as you know, we've been encouraging you to put some titles on these pilgrim songs for the purpose of letting the titles be like handles, meaning that way you can reach out and grab a hold of them when you go through something. Each one has had just so many, they've had different themes of encouragement or whatever it might have been through along the way. Well, what title, what handle are you going to put on this one to help you remember this awesome truth that we're passing through, this awesome truth that this isn't home yet, but that our destiny is sure? G. Campbell Morgan called it Jehovah, the assurance of the pilgrim, because it's assured. The Lord has sworn. Israel, my glory, calls it our dwelling. They had a place where the ark was put. Remember, the ark represented the presence of God to them. And so they'd go there and meet with God. We have the presence of God with us. But we're headed home. I called it God's promise for the pilgrim. God's promise for the pilgrim. I encourage you to take a moment and think about what you might title it, that you might apply it and live in the joy in all of it. The pilgrim sings of the promise God kept in sending Jesus and will keep in the establishment of his rule and reign in the millennium. Now remember, I had you look at all the I wills that were declared here. That God over and over has committed himself to certain things about his rule and his reign. I will. Verse 11, the Lord has sworn. So, point being is, we can go forward knowing the promises are sure. How important are God's promises for our journey? Totally important. Makes all the difference, doesn't it? When things shake us or challenge us, when we come up against things we don't understand, just all these things. How important are his promises? How sure are his promises? They're solid. So the encouragement is, let's travel like it. Not making light of our issues, but let's remember that fact, that we are passing through. When's the last time when you flew on an airplane that you were sitting there in the waiting area to board the plane? When's the last time you said, you know what, this place needs decorating. I think I'll paint it. And you started painting the waiting area of the airport. Anybody ever do that, by the way? Why not? It looked kind of shabby over there. Why? Because I don't live here. I'm just passing through. Oh, that we could learn to say that sometimes in life. Oh, again, not making light. Yes, take care of your house that you live in. Hey, the pastor said I don't have to paint the house. That's not what I'm talking about. I'd like to be able to say that, but no. But keep the big perspective. We're passing through. Keep a light touch on it. Don't stake who we are and our peace and everything on these things. And he cares about those details, don't get me wrong. But he would remind us, he transcends it all. And we're not home yet, but it's up ahead. And so we should sing like that. It's sure, why? Because I have warm feelings about it? No, the Lord has sworn. He's committed himself that for every believer, you will be there. It's coming. Could happen any time. As we go into the new year, as we head forward in our pilgrim's journey, we can be assured of God's faithfulness and the sureness of his word. The Lord has sworn. It's sure. He has committed himself to it. I'm going to invite the worship team up. Do you know this one that's called the Son of David personally? Do you know the one who is the Son of God who came here that first time and is coming again? You don't know him by church attendance alone. You can't come to know him by being good. We must personally receive the work of the cross that we might be forgiven of our sins and have our eternity secure. This has nothing to do with us if we haven't received of it. If you haven't received of that, I invite you to do so. There'll be prayer partners back in the corners. We wrap it up. Go there and get the issue settled. They'd love to talk to you and pray with you about it. Receive him today. But believer, I want to go back to something I pointed out at the beginning of our time. Remember what I said? David said, I'm not going to sleep until we got a place for the ark to rest that's more permanent. A place that people can come meet with the Lord. The idea being is he had a strong desire. It was his goal. Remember, the ark represented God's presence. And he didn't want anybody to come short of God's presence. And so it was on his desire, his goal. What is your goal for 2016? Oh, you can have some goals about, okay, I want to get a promotion or a raise. Maybe want to go to school. I'd like to see this happen. Those are goals that they have their place. But what goals do you really have right now that involve God in this coming year? Will you really be any different at the end of this year for having gone through it? David wasn't going to settle for less than God's presence. May that be the case for us also. May we not settle for anything less in this year than God's presence along the way. That we would, as pilgrims, recognize who we have in us and traveling with us, as well as where we're headed. And to say it again, I just want to say, men and ladies, this, the women's and men's study, is a perfect opportunity to jump on board to do that. Come gather with the goal of intentional spiritual growth in Jesus. Be perfect opportunity to do that. And lastly, let me just share this. These pilgrims sang at going to an earthly temple. They were called to do so, appropriate they did so. They were called to get together like that. But they were going to an earthly temple. We are headed to the future fulfillment of the promise of God to David. What am I saying? They went to the temporary. We are headed to the permanent. We are headed to the reality, if you will. That which was displayed here or put forward through the designs and all, the temple and all here, we're headed for the reality of that. Now, they rejoiced along the way. Think of the reasons we have to rejoice. What a good reason to sing and rejoice. It is sure the day is coming when our pilgrim's journey will be done and we will be home. Meanwhile, enjoy the journey. How can I? How can we? The Lord has sworn. Father, to that end, we give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Lord, that anybody who hasn't heart received Jesus as Savior, draw them even now, I pray. And we who by your mercy and grace sit here saved, headed home, we give you thanks for that. And Lord, I pray you would find us daily doing just that, rejoicing, praising, just declaring how awesome it is that you have sworn it, you will not turn from it. That day is coming. Jesus will rule and reign. How we look forward to it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand. We've covered much today. I trust that it's been a blessing and encouragement to each one of us. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body, is the declaration in this new year. And through your whole pilgrim's journey, may the Lord bless you with peace and hope and grace. Amen. Let's close in song together.